Morning's reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonias, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God."
Thank you, Rick. May the Lord have blessing to the reading of the Holy Word this morning. Anybody thirsty in here? I've got some water up here. Let's see. You guys, come on up. Luke and Levi, give them a hand because I'm going to embarrass them a little bit, I think. Okay, who wants number one and who wants number two? You'll take number one? Okay. This is water number two. This is water number one. They both came from my house this morning. So I just want you to go around, go up and down, make sure everybody sees these. All right. So, are you thirsty this morning? Are you thirsty? Take a good look. Which you want, Luke or Levi? Okay. We got. Yeah. Okay. No, those both came from my place this morning. You can do with them whatever you want. Well, mate, you might want to go around and make sure everybody sees them. I don't know. But isn't it interesting? At this most wonderful time of the year, we often focus on the things that we have lost, don't we? Where are the things that we have lost? They're in the past. Like Levi's water there. It's kind of old. Got some things going on. You can put it up here. That's fine. Okay. Yeah, we'll pass on that. Thank you, guys. Isn't it amazing how we often focus on what we've lost? You know, there is more pain and depression this time of year than any other time. Part of it is because the days are getting shorter. But another part of that is because we've lost people and we get together and it's not the same. People are not around the table that were there last year or 5 years ago or whatever. It's depressing to focus on what we have lost. Loved ones, maybe a divorce or a separation or a relationship that's gone bad. We think of those things, but they've already happened. We need to focus on this baby that we're celebrating, Jesus, and think about the end of his life. The end of this baby's life, there was a death, wasn't there? He was nailed to the cross. But there was a resurrection. And that is true. Many people were stuck in death. And they came to the tomb looking for Jesus. Now, we're going from the birth all the way to the end. But I just want to tell you, because that's the end of the story, right? So what we're really celebrating is, I think, can be put in the words of that angel at the tomb. When the disciples were there, the women were there. The women seemed to be better disciples than the men, actually. They got there first. And they said, "Where is the body?" And the angel said, what did the angel say? "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Brothers and sisters, the past is already gone. And if we are to be born again, if we are to be new creatures in Christ, then we need to focus on what is yet to come. Don't be stuck in the past. Jesus calls us to live in the future. And His life is for all of us to accept and to enjoy. Now, we've got some fill in the blanks on the if you want to do that in the sermon notes. And I'm going to take just a couple of minutes to give you some a little bit of background, and then we're going to just talk things through. Understanding the mind of the Jewish mindset of Jesus' day, okay? Because they went through a lot. They have almost a 3,000 year history with God, and so we want to give you that. So I mean, before the timeline, we have Noah. But at any rate, in these are dates from biblical scholars that most of them agree on. 2091, and these are all BC before Christ. Abraham is called by God because he has faith, and he's the only one. God was looking around. He couldn't find anybody except for Abraham. His name was Abram at the time. And God was trying to sell it. He said, look, whoever will follow me, I will make their name great, and I will bless them, and I will bless all those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So Abraham was chosen because he had faith to save the world. In other words, to take God's message to the world. Introduce your neighbors to God. Why are things going so good for you? Well, I have the one true Lord God. Now, fast track. Now, this is in their psyche, right? They know that they belong to Father Abraham and that they are part of this covenant with God to take the good news into all the earth, to all the world. Fast forward now to 1446 BC. They have just spent 430 years in slavery, and they're now coming out with God's great power and might with the 10 plagues in Egypt. They're coming out of Egypt and slavery, and on their way out, God takes them to the mountain where He gives them the 10 commandments. Why did He give them the 10 commandments? Because they had just been in captivity for 430 years. Do you ever feel like you've been in captivity, in bondage, a slave to your old life for many, many years? The commandments were there because they had a poor mindset. They had a slave mentality, a slave mindset. They were there as slaves to the Egyptians. And God said, you need to learn how to be successful, how to be something other than a slave. You need to have some positivity in your life. You need to be successful, and I'm going to teach you that by pleasing God, you will be successful. And so the commandments are given for that purpose, to teach them how to have a prosperous society, because if you just duplicate what you've been living for the last 430 years, you know, slavery, 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 slavery. Guess what you're going to do when you get out? You're not going to know what to do. You're going to be looking for the old things. Now, they didn't get things right away. I don't know about the rest of you. I know the rest of us today. I mean, when God says something, we just automatically believe it and we go because we don't want to waste any time. But the children of Israel were not that way. It took them 40 years once they left Egypt to finally come into the Promised Land because they kept vacillating. They kept longing to go back to Egypt. At least they had something there, right? The Promised Land, they finally go in 1406, and this is the time of the judges, okay? And Joshua sets up judges in the land, and they are regional within the land. And don't think of them as a real judge. They're more like a military political leader, and they would protect the Israelites, but they would also remind them of God's laws. And God says that you need, when you come into this new land, you need to obey my laws so that you will be prosperous and your neighbors, you're going to show your neighbors what God is like. Well, guess what? They tried that for 350 years and it didn't work. Guess what happened? Instead of the Israelites influencing their neighbors and drawing them to God, it was the neighbors who influenced the Israelites, and they became more and more corrupt. It was terrible. It was a complete and utter failure. They were also calling for to have a king because there were kings around them. So in 1050 was the time of the kings, and we have Saul, and then we have David in the high point. Of the kingdoms was David and Solomon's, the great kingdoms of David and Solomon. And at this time, Israel was a great nation doing great things with God by their side because they were following the Lord. Yes, they were not perfect. I should say, no, they were not perfect. But we know that David, when he did mess up, when he did sin, he was very sorrowful and he went to God and he confessed his sin and he gave sacrifice and he was forgiven. And so this is what they were calling people to do. We know you're not perfect, but follow us. When you sin, you can ask forgiveness and it will be granted to you from the Lord our God. We go now from 1050, we go to 931. The kingdom splits into the north and south kingdoms, and they split over taxes and religion, and that's a story for another day. But they didn't want to pay the high taxes, the northern kingdom didn't, so they split off, and they wanted to add some other religions, because after all, our neighbors have a different God, you know, and so we should be considerate of them, and we should worship all of these gods to make sure we get them all right, right? Well, God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's right there in the beginning of the commandments. And so, after 931, when the northern kingdom splits off, it takes a couple hundred years, and God says, enough is enough, and the northern kingdom is carried off by Assyria. And the southern kingdom was better, but it took them longer. They were better for longer than the northern kingdom. But finally in 586, the fall of the southern kingdom, and they were taken to Babylon in Babylonian captivity. It's interesting that the first group that went to Assyria were assimilated into Assyrian society, and those are known as the 10 lost tribes of Israel because they never returned. So how does this fit into what we're talking about with Jesus, the birth of Jesus? It was painful, think about this, it's painful to be the best at something, to be the best example of God's people on planet Earth, and then to just have it all taken away. All taken away. You're not even a nation anymore. It's like a painful divorce, or it's like losing a child. God's chosen people are no longer God's chosen people, but God's rejected people. So what was the mood in Israel after the captivity? And they did return after several years. The mood was terrible. It's like a divorce. It's like a betrayal. They thought that God loved them, but they knew that there was a betrayal. And they knew that it really was their fault. It wasn't God's fault at all. They had betrayed God. It wasn't God who betrayed them. So when they return from exile, there's this new reality. The temple has been destroyed. And there are only synagogues. What does that mean? If there's no temple, the temple signified the very presence of God with them. And so it was like God wasn't there. So there's no temple. Second thing is, there's no nationhood. They are no longer an independent, mighty nation who was doing great things. Now they were simply a possession of another larger state, some with the Assyrians and some with the Babylonians. And then eventually the Romans came in about 60 years before Christ. And so these are things that we know from world history. And they are surrounded now, so there's no temple, there's no nationhood, they have become much less than what they were They've been taken down, not just a couple notches, they've been taken down to the basement. So what do? To compensate and to survive. There's a strong emphasis on holiness and relationship with God. See, they had to get so low before they understood what God wanted. And so, the thing that survived through the Pharisees, and by the way, the Pharisees are the only group of rabbis that survived all of this through after the time of Jesus. Strong emphasis on being holy and a relationship with God. And what was Jesus here to talk about? He was here to talk about a relationship with God. He was also here to talk about being holy, but being holy through a sacrifice, because none of us can do it on our own. And so it was the perfect time for Jesus to come. The whole world had waited for this moment. There was no peace, there was only pain and worry in the eyes and in the minds and in the memories of the Jews. Is that your life today? Is there no peace, only pain and worry? The good old days are gone. And yet, we keep getting that old water and we keep drinking it. Right? Drink up. How are you going to feel after that? That is the message of Jesus Christ. He comes to make all things new. Is that our life? The good old days are gone. A once proud nation was now humbled. But there is good news. Jesus came with the new covenant. If you want to read about the new covenant, it's 700 years before Christ, and it's Jeremiah. It's real easy to remember. Jeremiah 31:31. It goes on for a few verses, but Jeremiah 31:31. You can read about the new covenant, and this is what Jeremiah was given by the Lord to say. This new covenant will be like this. I will forgive the sin of all people who ask for forgiveness. Everyone will experience the presence of God right inside themselves through a personal relationship. You are no longer under the old covenant of blessings and curses. In other words, if you do good, I will bless you. If you do badly, I will curse you. Some people think that's still around today. And that's how they try to get to God. They try to be perfect on their own. But it is no longer that old covenant of blessings and curses. We now have access to the Father through the Son, access to spiritual gifts of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. We have all of these things available to us if we just stop drinking that water. Because that's gone. It is gone. Why do we look for the living among the dead? Why do we look for living water among dead water? Now that Jesus has come, now I'm going to shift just a moment here. Now that Jesus has come, how do we prepare for peace? We need to be humble. Scripture tells us that all our works are as filthy rags. We need to stop working for approval. We need to stop trying. We need to just take rest in Jesus. And ask Him to make us new and to accept His forgiveness through His sacrifice. When Jesus came, He obviously did not come as a warrior, did He? He came as a baby. He came as a humble person. Everything about the coming of Jesus points to humility. Glorification of the poor, He was born in a manger. His parents, the shepherds, they were all poor. He came from a poor family. And He chose to sacrifice Himself. So He chooses to come into the world as a very humble person. Poor parents. And the first people that are given the great news are not the kings and the leaders, but they are the people doing the grunt work in society. The shepherds. That's where you started out. That was an entry-level position. You're a shepherd. Shepherds were given first dibs on the great news. That was part of God's plan too. Doesn't it make sense? Can you see how God is choosing to come in under the radar and come unexpectedly. The people of Israel were once a great nation. It is no wonder that after they were taken down a great deal, after being God's chosen people, it's no wonder they were taken down all these rings, that they were looking for a political leader, not some guy out in the wilderness who's very meek and mild. We don't need that. He may be doing some good things. He may be speaking something that sounds like it's true. They were looking for a political leader to restore the former greatness. How do you and I prepare for peace? Like Jesus, we need to be humble and see our good works as he does. Scripture says that all of our good works are as filthy rags. No one can satisfy God on what we do. We need to accept the work that Jesus has done for us. How do we prepare for peace? No matter how great you think you are, you're not. It's all about God and God's acceptance of you and me. And he will accept everyone who accepts his son. Just as Israel enjoyed the former status as a great nation, God said, no, it's not about you. It's about my love for you. I have a couple of things that I've written. Some of you know I like to write poetry, and I wanted to share these short readings. They're only about 2 hours long, and I think everybody got enough time. I'm just kidding. Just a couple minutes. It reminds us that we need to be humble. We lose our way when treasures crowd the simple pleasures out, and secret sins rob peace within and fill us with Satan's doubt. A lowly baby was the sign of God's true love divine, a holy gift from love above for hearts like yours and mine. It does not have to end this way, though sin is all we've seen, for we've been given truth and love to wake us from this dream. A lowly babe makes perfect sense if love's to rule in heaven. He makes a start in human hearts, now dancing and forgiven. We lose our way when treasures crowd the simple pleasures out, and secret sins rob peace within and fill us with Satan's doubt. And one more. I've read this, I think, one time here before, but I'll read it again. It speaks of a homeless man who is humble. A homeless man at Christmas time was staring back at me, out in the street where people meet with shame and misery. No friends, no home, no family, no gifts, no Christmas tree. Yet still he stood there smiling on the inside back at me. He once was me, so said my heart, and he could feel it too. But who now had the better part, the poor man or this Scrooge? The joy inside he could not hide brought church to me that day, out in the street where angels meet poor souls who've lost their way. A homeless man at Christmas time was staring back at me, out in the street where people meet with shame and misery. Brothers and sisters, the end of the story is clean water. It's new. It's what we are to drink. The sadness, it's good to remember those who have gone. I'm not going to say it isn't. But remember them for what they are. For Scripture tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They are present with the Lord, and this is gone forever for them. So why do we drink it today? This is what they're drinking. Drinking from springs of living water. This is what we are called to. This is our future. This is our reality, if only we accept it and decide that it is true, what Jesus has said. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your holy ways. Thank you for being humble. Thank you for being a servant. Thank you for teaching us how to have peace. We only have it through you, Lord. It is everlasting, and we thank you for that. And all God's people said.